Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
Today, guys, we're going to be doing some deal structuring straight out of Jeff's podio here. So Jeff is sharing his screen with us, and this is a lead that he got back in January, looks like.
We've been working this for a while.
Okay. So yeah, we're going to go through it, and we're going to come up with at least one creative financing offer right now.
Yeah, so this property is now under contract, and the reason it took so long is that we were dealing with all of the COVID-19 stuff, and we must have sent at least 8-9 contracts to this lady before she felt comfortable signing everything. We've gone through the purchase agreement line by line twice with her. She's such a really nice lady, but she was getting some advice from her brother, and he's not a big fan of what we do and how we do it. So we had to be a little bit patient. So let's talk about what this property is and what we're doing with it.
Because single family, 4-bed.
Yep.
Sorry, Jeff.
Now, one of the reasons that I wanted to go over this property is I come across this kind of stuff a lot, and I'll show you what I mean by that in just a second. But if you learn how to figure out how to deal with this type of property, I mean, these are leads that no one's after, and I'll show you why, and I'll show you what we're able to do. So it's a 4-bed, 3-bath, 2-car. 2150 square feet, 1980. It's in downtown Boise. She owes about $170,000 on this property.
Okay.
And her monthly payment is $1,115. I actually think it's a little bit higher. I think it's like $1,200 PITI. And so taxes and insurance included. It's a rental right now, and it's being rented for $1,600 a month. There's the rent, $1,600 a month. The property's ARV is about $330, and she wanted around $290. So she's got quite a bit of equity. She's already a landlord, so she's used to getting payments. But what do you think she's getting a month right now? And actually, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think her payment is $1,300 PITI. And it's right around there. It's pretty close.
So
she's getting what, $300 cash flow right now from her tenants?
Is she water garbage?
Yes, she probably is. So
she's
no more than $300, right? Probably more like $250, $225.
Probably more like $50.
Yeah, it might be, right?
Especially if any repairs come up, you know?
Yeah, exactly. All right, so now we're going to switch our... we're going to go to our LOI. Can you see that now, Jonathan?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So what we're doing here, and I don't really care if you see my address, but because it is under contract, and by the time this comes out, we'll just have bought it. So what I like to do here, and we are definitely going to do like a 2-3-part series on this hybrid interest rate of mine, because I know people keep saying they're they're using it, but either they're saying it wrong or they're using it wrong or both. And I don't want to be the person that, well, Jeff said that you could do this.
you are. So
I want to be clear on how this works, but we are not doing that today, but soon we will be doing that because people tell me that, hey, I did the 2.5% amortized over 30 years. It's like, no, you didn't then.
It's like, doesn't work.
2.5 amortized over 30 years is different than what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I wanted to do is make an offer to this lady around what she wanted. And she's pretty price conscious. She's a fairly sophisticated seller. She's older, she's a little bit disabled, she can't really deal with her tenants. And if I told you some stuff, you would think she's really not that sophisticated, but she's actually very intelligent in terms of, you know, the real estate goes, but she has no lease in place, right? And I think that's probably more about her being disabled than anything else. But I mean, that is one thing you don't want to do is have tenants without a lease. And she thinks that she can trust these people. And then we just did our walkthrough and she wasn't very happy. So what I want to always do is our down payment is just crucial here, right? Because the more money we have to come up with, the less likely this deal is going to work. And I'm looking at this one of two ways right now. I'm looking at, because of the price and because of what it could rent for, that unless my terms are great, this is going to be for an owner-occupant. And I might be able to be a landlord if I wanted to be, but that's not really what I want. So I don't think there's enough room really to create something for another investor personally. Okay. So I'm just going to structure it based on what would work for an owner occupant. And then really what I have to decide is, do I want to stay in the middle or do I just want to wholesale this and arbitrage my down payment? Make sense, Jonathan?
Yep.
All right. So it came in at 290. Remember, this property is worth about 330. $15,000 down payment. That's right around that 5% mark. 2.5% interest. Okay. Simple interest, simple, not amortized. And what I did really quickly is I always do this is I just take my 290 minus 15,000. I have a present value of 275. And then I'm just going to figure out where a payment would normally be. So I'm going to take 3.5%, 4%, somewhere in that range, depending on what's going on with rates over 30 years. Okay. So I'm going to just put in 3.5%, 360 months is in, and I'm going to solve for payment. Okay. That's $1,234. And if I go up to 4%, I'm at 1312. So I'm somewhere in that range, right?
Yeah.
That's what someone could expect to pay if they went to the bank and bought this with a loan and put down 15 grand. Okay.
Yeah.
So I want to figure that out because I don't want this payment to be too high. I don't want it to be too low. I do want it to kind of be in that sweet spot where, here's the issue, is if her payment is around 1300 PITI, how much money is she getting if my payment to her is 1300?
So she's, well, I mean, it's just, you're just covering her payment basically, but she gets the taxes that
yeah. is
being escrowed out of her, which looks like you put like about 300 a month.
Yeah. So it's pretty high in terms of taxes for this property.
And, yeah. So even with that, she's making an additional, you know, 300. She probably wasn't making that before.
Right.
You know,
but that's kind of the key, right? Because
yeah.
if I could only offer her no cash flow, none. I already know she wasn't making a lot, but it's going to be a hard sell. I'm not saying that she wouldn't take it, but she's older. It would have been interesting to find out if her motivation for not being a landlord anymore is more than, you know, getting any equity or any monthly cash flow each month.
Yeah.
Because she only owes like $170,000. She's got, you know, $120,000 in equity. If I can't show her something, she might just tell me, well, I'll just go sell it and I'll just list it and do whatever I can get. But she didn't mind this. This was like still having a rental, and she was going to get some money up front.
Yeah.
And it's fairly short time frame. So,
and she no longer has to be the landlord.
Yeah. Okay. So the way this works is, if you think about this, so we owe her $275,000 after we pay her the $15,000 down payment. Okay. We're going to pay her $1,300 a month. Remember, rents are actually $1,800 a month, market rents in this area. Uh-huh. And maybe even a little bit higher because it's a 4-bed, 3-bath. but this property is going to pay down by $27,000 in 3 years.
Yeah.
So $9,000, almost $9,000 a month, or right around there. Not a year. A year.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's going to have no expense. Okay. The seller is going to actually gross like $309. And what that means is that she has an underlying loan. I don't know. You know, she's not really getting this much, but I don't want to have to figure out what she's going to net. And it's going to be a lot less than that.
Right. Okay?
And then here's the last thing, is that my payments don't start for 2 months.
Yeah. Okay? Nice.
So here's my goal. So we just did the walkthrough, and the house is in good condition except for flooring. And so it probably needs some new carpet, and it probably needs the hardwoods to be resanded. And if you were going to take it even a step further, you'd probably want to do the two shower stalls. But I am not going to do that.
Okay.
I may put $5,000 into it for flooring. And okay, what I'm going to do is I am going to sell this for $330,000, $335,000, $337,000, somewhere in that range. Okay. And the reason that I'm able to do that is when I offer terms, one, there's no appraisal, right? So as long as I'm within a reasonable range, people will pay more to get something where they don't have to qualify at a bank. I'm going to try to get $35,000 to $40,000 down, at least that 10%. That will cover this. That will cover the $5,000 that I would put into the property to cover my closing costs. I'd probably make $10,000. Nothing super exciting, but I'm into this property with no money, and I've actually been paid some money up front.
Now I
could just stop right there, try to get the most money down. I may not do the flooring and take my $10,000, $15,000, $17,000 difference in what I can get in down payment and just be done, and let the buyer and the seller now have this relationship.
Yeah,
let me show you why I'm not going to do that in this case. Okay. So let's say that let's just say we're going to sell this property for $335,000.
Okay.
And we're going to get $35,000 down.
Okay.
So my buyer now owes me $300,000, correct?
Correct.
That would be our present value.
Yep.
I am going to sell this property for somewhere between 4.5% and 5%, okay? Because the interest rate's not going to matter to my buyer.
No.
What matters to my buyer are two things.
that they can get in without
paying the down payment, right?
Yep.
And then the monthly payment.
Right. So
4.5% amortized over, I just screwed it up. So 300,000, 4.5. So this isn't going to be a huge cash flow. So at 4.5%, it's 1520. So I'm making 220 a month. And if I can get it up to 5%, it would be 1600. So with their $300 a month taxes, you know, they'd be around 18, 19. Remember I told you rents are around 18, 1850 for this property. So, hey, for another $50, $100 a month, you can own this property. And that might be, you know, I might be able to get that. And so that would be a $310 a month cash flow for me for the next 3 years, right?
Yep.
So that's like another 10 grand. I'm still not super excited about any of this yet.
Right.
However, now let's figure out the balloon payment for my buyer, right? So we leave everything in our calculator where we figured out that at 5%, the payment would be $1,610. Now we're just going to put in 36 as in and solve for future value.
Okay.
They're going to still owe $286,030. How much do I owe?
$247,000.
Do you think I should stay in it for 3 years to get another pretty much 40 grand?
Yes. That's,
I think so too.
That right? is what makes it exciting. So you're going to get a little bit of cash flow over those 3 years. And then at the end of that, what was it again?
286,030. So, that 39,000.
Yeah. Okay. That's where the payoff is.
That is where the payoff is. So
yeah, these are the deals that you talk about that you love. These are your favorite kind of deals where you can get some cash up front. You know, 10, 15, whatever, up front in your pocket. And then you get a little cash flow over time. And then on the back end, you're getting $40,000. And that's really good.
So, normally I don't want to stay in it unless I can get a better cash flow. But
you're not going to have any money in it.
I won't, right? No. And I like the price range of this type of house. That's no matter what happens with what's going on right now, that this will still be a high demand house. It's in one of the hottest markets in the country right now. All of these things lead me, could I just be out of it and make $10,000 or $15,000? I could, but I'm giving this up. I'm giving up the big payday.
Yeah. The balloon.
Yeah. So I'm starting to wonder, whenever I can use my 2.5%, and what time is better than right now to be able to offer owner financing? I mean, some of the banks have pulled back. Now they want 20% down.
And they want credit scores 680 and above. Yeah,
680 to 700 minimum credit scores.
Yeah.
And now I am the underwriter for my own house, and you can get in for 10%, half of what you could normally get in. Oh, but I'm sorry, you're not getting the same 3.5% you could go get at the bank right now. You will pay a higher rate, but hey, is the payment still within reason? Well, it's still within the rent.
Yeah. And they would pay a higher rate anyway if they're lower, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, really, it's like you said, the interest rate doesn't matter to them. You know, that 4.5%, 5% does not matter to them.
That's right. They don't care. When I tell them about the interest rate, it'll just be in passing. It's more about what the payment will be.
Yeah. So is this what the seller accepted option?
Yes.
Nice.
So this kind of deal where she's got quite a bit of equity, she is a landlord. But she's not making, these houses aren't great cash flow. When you have a $320,000, $330,000 home that rents for $1,600, I mean, that's kind of terrible. Those aren't the houses that you really want to be renting.
Right.
Now, granted, she could probably get a couple hundred dollars more, but still, I mean, if we're looking at the 1% rule, we're nowhere near it. And that's what you'll find in, you know, the hot markets where things have been appreciating so much, even though rents have gone up, prices have gone up even faster.
Right. So are you guys doing this for a contract for deed then?
So we will do it as contract for deed. Normally I would want to take title. But that was kind of one of the things that I had to give up, and I don't really care. It's really not that big of a deal to me. And to be honest, she would rather me be in the middle. She wants to deal with me.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I'll make it work.
And see, this is a great example too for our listeners out there why you got to have contract for deed in your tool belt, is because if the seller doesn't feel comfortable giving title up front, well, you have a solution for that, right, Jeff? Contract for deed.
That's right.
And that's, so like you said, you'd like to take title, but because...
You know what I probably could do here, Jonathan, now that you bring this up, and it's a really good point. So I just talked to her like 2 days ago after we did the walkthrough, and she's like, I just put that carpet in like 18 months ago before these tenants got in, and now it's got to be replaced. And I told her that normally I'd want her to take less on her down payment, but I know that she needed this money, and that we may need to work something else out. So what I'd probably tell her is, why don't we do contract for deed for 12 months? That way you know that I'm invested in this, that I've made 12 payments. And then, you know, at any point in time over the next 2 years, that I can take that deed and record it if I feel it necessary.
Yeah.
And not that I really do, but at least then I have that control.
Right. Right. That's, and you think she'll go for that?
Yeah. I don't see why she wouldn't.
Yeah. That's a great option too. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, cool, Jeff. Thanks for sharing this one with us. I just love that you get paid up front, you know, the 10 or 15, whatever you're going to make, and then get some cash flow over time. And then that balloon payment at the end is where the real big payday comes. Right. And it works for the seller too, because the seller won't have to put any money into it. And over that time, she's going to gross 309.
Yep.
And you said what, the property was worth 330 right now?
330.
And so if she was just
asking 290.
Yeah. So she's getting more money, and you know, even if she was to go use an agent and sell it on the market, she would only gross, if she was to sell it for top dollar at 330, she would only gross 306 after commissions.
Yeah. She's not getting 330 as is.
Yeah. So that's where it's a win-win for the seller. And then whoever your tenant buyer is going to be, it's going to be a win-win for them, because they won't have to come in with bank financing. You know, they don't have
to. Yeah, I could do it as a tenant buyer. I'm not going to. Tenant buyer would be more lease option. I would sell them lease option. I probably could make as much, if not more money doing it that way. I would make more money doing it that way. However, I want to recoup all of my money up front, and I don't think I would be able to with a lease option. That's really the only difference for me. And it will probably be a little easier for my buyer to do this as a refinance in 3 years, as opposed to a purchase through a lease option. If I had a longer term on this, if I had like a 10-year term, I'd probably do it as a lease option. And even if I had to leave a few thousand dollars into the property, because it'd be worthwhile.
Yeah.
Because it's a shorter time frame, I'd rather sell it, get all my money back, and give my buyer the best opportunity to buy in 3 years.
Right. Awesome. Love it. Well, cool. Let's wrap it up there then, Jeff.
You got it.
Thanks for sharing that with us. And guys, if you're interested in doing deals just like this, we're putting together an educational program where we're going to have all of our education in one place. It's going to be you know, it'll provide some clarity for you. It's going to be kind of a step-by-step format in doing exactly what Jeff showed us here, where we're able to take these leads and convert them to a deal where you get paid up front, you get some cash flow over time, and then at the end of that, you get a big payday for a balloon payment when the, you know, when your tenant buyer is able to get refinance the property and get bank financing on it. So we're in the process of putting that together right now. We'll have more details in the near future, but we just wanted to put that out there. If you're interested in Jeff's apprenticeship program right now, you can reach him on our hotline. And if you have any questions or comments for us, that number is 877-409-8090, 877-409-8090. And you can text CFP to that number as well, or creative financing to that number. And it'll give you special access to a step-by-step video that Jeff put together that kind of walks you through how he comes up with offers just like this. So get that. And then you guys can find us, all of our episodes on the web at www.thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. We're also on Facebook, the Creative Financing Podcast, and Instagram. So catch us in all those places. Please rate and review our show. We're really trying to build our audience here, and we appreciate you guys. We appreciate your faithfulness in us and continuing to listen all this time. And I know there's a ton of listeners out there that's been with us from episode number one. So kind of a cool thing. Any last words, Jeff?
I don't know how you keep track of all the things you have to get through at the very end of our podcast, because it keeps growing, and yeah. I'm not sure how you keep track of all that.
Okay. All right, guys. Till next time, go out there and create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.